Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Has God spoken? If there is a more significant question, I am wholly unaware of what it might be. Muslims answer by pointing to the Quran as God's only credible, uncorrupted revelation. From their perspective, God spoke through the archangel Gabriel, who dictated the Quran to Muhammad over a period of 23 years. Mormons likewise are absolutely certain that God has spoken through a revelation called the Book of Mormon, which their prophet Joseph Smith called the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion. But has God spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon? The answer is no. The Quran is a hopelessly flawed document, full of faulty ethics and factual errors, and the Book of Mormon fares no better. While Mormons claim that their prophet Joseph Smith found golden plates containing the fullness of the everlasting gospel written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, the facts say otherwise. But here's the deal. According to critics, the notion that God has spoken and that the Bible is a credible repository of what he has said does not stand up in the light of cold, hard facts either. Which is to say, critics overwhelmingly discount the Bible as being divine. They think it's merely human in origin. But you can be absolutely certain that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. It's why I wrote the book, Has God Spoken? And it is available to you for your gift to the ministry all this month. Not only so, for those who give a gift of $100 or more, I will send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. I will also send you a personalized copy if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. The book is the crowning jewel of my writing career. It's memorably laid out so that you can know that you know that you know that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation that you can trust, you can bank your life on it. It's been called a diamond, a chain of pearls, the sword of the Spirit. It's the map by which you can daily walk. It's a sundial by which you can set the course of your life. It is the balance in which you can weigh your actions. Has God spoken? It is available right now. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, pick up the phone and talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go right to the phone callers. A lot of you hanging on. By the way, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Kristen, first in Grand Prairie, Texas. Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hello. I just have like a question about Deuteronomy 22:5 and verse 7 of that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
If you could kind of briefly shed some light on that, because you know I've had friends that women who've like thrown their pants out or like you know throw anything out that's like not 100%. You know, a certain fabric or something.
Yeah, well, A couple of things I would say about that. One is there's no necessity to do that. The idea is that women should not cross gender, neither should men cross gender. This has to do with transvestism or cross-dressing. A woman has to retain her identity as a woman and a man as a man, and that is the point that's being underscored in Deuteronomy. By the way, it's also instructive to note that if you look at the way people dressed in biblical times, women and men had very similar clothing, set apart primarily by embroidery. So the notion that this has to do with women not being able to wear pants is simply bogus. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Zach. He's listening on KQCV in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Zach.
Hi. Hey, I wanted to say thanks for doing your show every day. It really gives me, you know, inspiration for apologetics. I had a question about evolution, and I mean, first of all, I don't believe in evolution, but why should we believe in an old Earth if we hold that evolution is false?
Well, I don't think evolution is helped by the age of the universe. There's not enough time to form a simple protein molecule by random processes. So the supposed age of the Earth and the universe doesn't help evolution at all. The real issue you have to look at with respect to the evolutionary paradigm is, does it stand in an age of scientific enlightenment? And the answer is no. It is a fairy tale for adults. The fossil record says no, there are transitions within kinds, but never transitions from one kind to another kind. There's no evidence whatsoever that nothing can create everything to begin with, so the whole philosophical naturalist paradigm breaks down. There's no chance whatsoever that chance can account for a designed universe, the designed universe in which we find ourselves, and the basic laws of science militate against the evolutionary paradigm. So the age of the Earth does not help the evolutionist. All the facts speak against the paradigm. And that's why, again, in an age of scientific enlightenment, as Christians, we need to be equipped to demonstrate that evolution is indeed a farce. As far as the question of age, however, is concerned, we want to make sure that we never commit scriptural heresy. By the same token, we also want to be certain we do not commit scientific heresy, which is to say, for someone in the Christian community today to say that the earth is fixed and everything revolves around the earth would simply be false. And to communicate falsehoods as a Christian is not commensurate with a Christian worldview. So if we have the ability to discover things about our universe, we should rightly communicate what we've discovered. Now, we are, after all, positioned perfectly for discovery. God has placed us in a flattened arm of a flattened spiral galaxy. We can discover things about the universe in which we are, and as a result of that, we can know that geocentrism isn't true, that heliocentrism is true. So there are things that we can know which really aren't communicated in the Bible. In fact, there were unfortunate people who used the Bible, or I should say misused the Bible, as a basis for communicating geocentrism, but that was taking a text out of context or reading an unintended meaning into the text. Unfortunately, we're still doing the same thing today. There are a lot of people that read the Bible and say, whoa, right here in the Bible you have evidence for Big Bang cosmology. Now, Big Bang cosmology may be true, but the texts that are used from the scripture to point to it don't point to it at all. So we want to make sure that we read the Bible properly, and we want to make sure that we properly interpret the evidence that God has given us, because His eternal power, His divine nature are clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore, as Paul says in Romans 1, we are without excuse. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Eric next. Eric is listening on KCVW in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Eric.
Hello. I appreciate your ministry and what you do, and just started listening to you about a month ago. I really appreciate all you do. It's very insightful and very informative.
Thank you.
I had a question, or more of a work to get some more information. Essentially, what I'm trying to do is talk to some hardcore atheists every now and then, and one of their biggest selling points is, if natural selection exists, then that's the process by which evolution can exist, or the idea that, small changes over time can lead to big evolutional changes over time. And I just wanted to know what you felt about evolution versus natural selection versus artificial selection, and if you could give me some insight on how to argue that as a, the mechanism for creation, as in a creation.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. The point that I made earlier is that you simply don't find transitions in the fossil record that can account for the evolutionary process. I mean, there are people that say that there's evidence that humans evolved from chimps or from apes, but the evidence simply isn't there, and the evidence that is pointed to is good for bone peddlers, but there's no business like bone business, except it just doesn't fly in face of the facts. And you look at the fossil transitions that are proposed from, let's say, a hippo to a whale. There's scant fossil evidence, and the molecular evidence actually contradicts the fossil evidence. So then you have to wonder how skin becomes impermeable to water, or how the eye protection mechanism developed, or how the brain changes that are necessary took place, the diving and emerging mechanism, there's the lactation system, where'd the sonar system come from, and so forth. So the point is, there just isn't enough evidence. And as I said earlier, there's something else that's far more fundamentalist in terms of their thinking. They start with this fundamentalism from the left that presupposes that nothing can create everything.
Right.
And that not only flies in the face of the evidence, but it is something that flies in the face of common sense.
Right.
So there simply isn't any good evidence. It is something that people are buying into lockstep because it is a paradigm that's sort of pushed on people. Darwin himself saw the problems with his evolutionary paradigm, and now his tree of life has been uprooted by things like the Cambrian explosion. So there's all kinds of evidence against the Darwinian paradigm. I've written about this in a book that's called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, and I try to make it memorable there. Also a book called Fatal Flaws, and now I have a brand new book coming out. It'll be out sometime, hopefully by the end of the year or the first of next year. The book is done, but it's at the publisher now. It should be in bookstores and available through CRI, again, before the end of the year or the first of next year, which also deals with these evidences and demonstrates that the evolutionary paradigm cannot stand in an age of scientific enlightenment. It answers all kinds of questions about origins and genesis, and hopefully will be a very helpful book for people to get a hold of. We have a little time before we go to break that I want to use to communicate a couple of things, and then on the other side of the break, we'll take a lot more of your questions. But I want people to be aware of the fact that my Apocalypse Code, the book, of course, has been out for a long time, but now it is out on MP3 download. You can also get MP3 discs. And this is an important book because at the root of this book is the kind of information that you need to be able to mine the Bible for all its wealth. We say God has spoken, that the Bible is in fact the Word of God. But the attendant question is, if God has spoken, what has God said? And I think the Apocalypse Code at its base will help you see the beauty in the Word of God, teach you the principles of reading the Word of God. And again, available on MP3 disc and MP3 download. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can just talk to our resource consultants as well by picking up the phone, 888-7000-CRI, or, as always, you can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also want to mention the CRI e-newsletter. You can stay connected with the Christian Research Institute with our events, our broadcasts, the featured articles that we've done with respect to our primary research, the special e-store and Christian Research Journal offers, and much more. If you've not signed up for our e-newsletter, do so today and receive a free wristband with our motto, Because Truth Matters, on it, as well as the website, available for a limited time. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org front page. Click on the sign up button and sign up today. Again, we'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, as always, to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff contends that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who is the Antichrist? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Pastor and author Rob Bell is a phenomenon hard to avoid. His best-selling books and his popular Pneuma video series have made him an attractive figure for many Christians during the past 6 or 7 years. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Douglas Grotheis addresses Bell's controversial book, Love Wins, in a relentless summary critique entitled, Love Wins, Making a Contradictory Case for Universalism. Grotheis shows the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Gain a better grasp of historic Christian orthodoxy concerning the afterlife when you start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our callers as well. Next up is Joyce listening in Texas. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. My question is, in the very first of Genesis, you know, God made Adam and Eve, and then when they were cut out of Eden, they had Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel, and then Cain married this woman. And I'm just wondering where her and all the other inhabitants of Nod came from, if Adam and Eve was the only people he had made so far.
Yeah, well, Adam and Eve lived for a long time, and they no doubt had many children. Remember that when you read the book of Genesis, you do not have an exhaustive account of every one of their children. They were able to proliferate for literally hundreds of years. So Cain married a sister or a niece. We should note, Adam lived almost 1,000 years, and he fulfilled God's charge to be fruitful and to increase in number. So while the Bible, again, doesn't tell us where Cain got his wife, the logical implication is that he married either a sibling or a niece. And a lot of people raise the genetic problem with this, but genetic imperfections accumulated gradually over time, and there was no prohibition against incest in the earlier stages of human civilization. In fact, the Levitical law against incestuous relationships was given by God hundreds of years after Cain at the time of Moses. Again, the short answer is a sibling or a niece.
Well, see, that's what I concluded, but I thought I had to be wrong.
Well, in fact, you're right.
Oh, well, I feel so enlightened now.
Okay.
And I want to thank you so much. I learned so much from your program, and thank you for answering my question, and you have a blessed day and continue with what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your encouragement. Of course, the speculation that God might have created a wife for Cain as he had for Adam is ad hoc. The consistent teaching of Scripture is that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them, the exact places that they should live. And he did that, and this is an important point, so that humankind would reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Andy next, listening on KARI in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Question for you, King James versus any other Bible. I've got a friend who vehemently argues that the translation is authentic, and I just need some real direction on that. Thank you very much.
Well, you got it. And, you know, it is a good translation of the Bible. It's withstood the test of time. I participated in the celebration of the 400th year anniversary of the King James Version. But it is mistaken to think that it is the only translation. In fact, I would argue that there are better translations now than the King James Version. And I argue this way because there have been all kinds of advances since 1611. The King James was commissioned in 1604 and then completed in 1611. And there were more than one version. There was more than one version in the year 1611 alone, because there were mistakes and corrections to those mistakes. And there have been many other versions since. So it's been a great translation. But what's happened is we have benefited from an increase in understanding of the ancient languages. We have better and newer and older, I should say, manuscripts. And so we now have an advantage with the newer translations, and therefore the New King James Version makes some very important forward strides over the King James Version. Again, the people that are King James Version only oftentimes think that the King James Version is like an autograph hot off the plates from Mount Sinai. Nothing could be farther from the truth. It's a good translation, but it's certainly not an infallible translation. When we talk about the Bible being the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, we're not talking about the copies. We're talking about the autographs or the originals themselves. That help?
Yeah, hi there. Okay. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. And I've written about this in a lot of different places, including in the introduction to the Legacy Study Bible available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Kelly, listening on KSCV in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Nice to have you on the broadcast. Yes.
My question is, will the people in heaven mourn the people that went to hell, like their family members that didn't make it?
Well, when we are in heaven, when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and language, people from every nation and people, we will have a true valuation of things. We will see things from God's perspective. We will see things as they really are. And we can be thankful even today, before we are perfect, when we're only positionally righteous before God, practically yet sinners, we can still be grateful for the way God does things. Because God is not a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people. He allows people to live a life apart from him if they want to in this life, and he will allow them to do that in the life to come, which is what hell is. It is an eternity separated from the goodness and the grace of God. So God has two kinds of people. C.S. Lewis put it this way. The people that he created who say to God, "Thy will be done," and the people to whom God in the end says, "Thy will be done." In other words, if you don't want a relationship with me, I will continue to sustain you in existence, but apart from my goodness and grace. Again, that is precisely what hell is, the torment of forever existing outside of God's goodness and grace. I think Kelly's phone disconnected. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jill. She's listening on KLTE in Missouri. Hi, Jill.
Hi. I have a question about infertility treatments. I just don't know if the Bible has any direction on specifically in vitro fertilization.
Well, in principle, I mean, there are major moral concerns. The fertilization of an egg in a glass dish can lead, it doesn't always, but it certainly can lead to viewing children as products to be made rather than gifts from our Heavenly Father. Also, you have the issue of the introduction of third parties through sperm or egg donation or through surrogate motherhood, and that is inconsistent with the biblical pattern of continuity between procreation and parenthood. So here's what I would say. If in vitro fertilization is used, the sperm and the egg must come from the husband and the wife that are committed to raising the child. We see the potentially disastrous consequences of third-party involvement in the lives, for example, of Abraham and Sarah. along with the concubine Hagar. And then if in vitro fertilization is used, no more eggs should be fertilized, and the couple is willing to give a reasonable chance at full-term life.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason I say that. I mean, it's an established scientific fact that human life begins at conception. In other words, an embryo has a distinct human genetic code. It exhibits metabolism, development. It has the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction. So if you discard an embryo or destroy an embryo through experimentation, you are in fact destroying a real human being. And freezing embryos is likewise morally objectionable. Now, thank goodness that there have been embryos that are frozen that have been unfrozen and are viable children today. I've met some. I think of a girl named Elise. I had the opportunity to meet and read her a story and get to know her parents. She was an embryo that was frozen, and she's been given the chance at life. But not all embryos make it through the thawing process. So again, we have to recognize that we're talking about real human beings. They don't have a fully developed personality, but certainly have full personhood from the moment of conception. So I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Daniel listening in Springdale, Arkansas. Hi, Daniel.
Yes, Hank. My question is this. Is today in today's time, there's obvious huge legislation and huge push against the Church of God, especially, you know, against a Christian from the secular world. Legislation in the United States is going through almost every day that's basically taking away every little right that we have that's eventually going to cut off all of our resources. And I believe that my question for you is, should we not, as a Christian nation, unite? What I am seeing and what I am deciphering myself is the same patterns that the United States did in dissolving the Native Americans, and it's almost exact way that they did it by passing the laws to move them to certain places and not allow them to do certain things. I see the same thing happening to the Christian world. And should we not basically unite as a non-denominational, do away with the denomination completely, and the stigma of Catholicism and
yeah, let me answer that quickly because we're running up against the clock. Remember, we are united in essential Christian doctrine. In essentials, unity; non-essentials, liberty; and all things, charity. The other thing I would caution against is a we-they-sage mentality against the world. Pagans do what pagans do. They exercise their job description. The real problem is oftentimes Christians don't do what Christians are called to do, which is to be ambassadors for Christ. If we were genuinely ambassadors for Christ, instead of secret agents who have never blown their cover before the unregenerate world, we could be salt and light in the culture. We could change the culture. Again, the problem isn't that pagans do what pagans do. The problem is that Christians aren't doing what they're commissioned to do. And that's why when the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. We're supposed to be a light on a hill, a city on a hill. We shouldn't cover the light with a bushel. Jesus makes that clear, and there's no time like the present to be equipped, to make a difference, to give an answer, so that we can use our well-reasoned answers so that those who are yet pagans might come to a true valuation of things. Embrace the creator of the universe as the lover of their soul. Back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies?
The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, or become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken?, Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scripture does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. Order Has God Spoken? For your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Teresa. Teresa's listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm calling a reference to the book, The Secret, and how it relates to relationships. And I am currently in a marriage, and I ended up not praying to get out of the marriage, but anyway, I guess, like, thinking on, like how The Secret shows you how to think something and it comes up. And I mean, this person that I was thinking about, it really came up. And I had always wanted to be out of my marriage because it was abusive mentally. And I just wanted to know your take on it.
Well, boy, that is a can of worms. I've written about this in several places, so I want you to hang on so I can send you the information as well. One of the things we did is we put together a little flyer called What is the Secret? But it's a very bad way of thinking about things. Rhonda Byrne does not start with a Christian worldview. Unfortunately, it is being promoted by people like Oprah, who says the thoughts and feelings that you put out into the world, both good and bad, are exactly what is always coming back to you. So you have the life that you have created. And she says, of course, she's been talking about that on her show for years. She just never called it The Secret. But what is The Secret? It's the law of attraction. And the law of attraction is supposedly the law of creation. And therefore, your thoughts create reality. So if you want to transform yourself from fat to thin, you think thin thoughts. And by the way, you can't look at fat people. This is the idea that is being promulgated, but that idea has no basis in reality. And there's a dark side to it as well, because as the contributing authors of The Secret have made plain, victims of suffering and tragedy attract those circumstances to their lives. In fact, I thought one of the most poignant moments on Larry King, which, of course, now is taken over by Piers Morgan, but while Larry King, who was the king of interviewers, he was interviewing Joe Vitale, I believe it was, a contributing author to The Secret, and he asked Joe Vitale whether Jessica Lunsford, a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally raped and murdered, attracted that horror to herself. And he said, we are attracting everything to ourselves, and there is no exception. So thoughts are the primary cause of everything, whether good or bad, and therefore whether it's the Holocaust or this rape and murder, it was something attracted to the person by their thoughts. So now the person who is the victim also is the one that is accused of bringing that horror on themselves. And unfortunately, this idea is now morphed into a Christian kind of facsimile where you have Christian leaders taking the same idea but cloaking it in the law of faith. And you have one of America's most popular prosperity preachers saying the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it, it's a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. And unfortunately, communicating in that something that is utterly false. I've written about this in various places. Of course, we've got the little pamphlet that I alluded to available to our constituency, as well as in one of the chapters of Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. I use that as an opening illustration and cash out what The Secret's about, why it's dangerous, why it is not consistent with a biblical worldview. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Harold, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Harold.
Hi, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Quick question. Could Satan repent?
Well, that's it. No, I think Satan has been actualized in his choices, just as we will be actualized in our choices in eternity. So once we are in eternity, we will have requisite knowledge be actualized in our choices, and that is the way it is with Satan. Satan has made the choice. He had requisite knowledge. He was in the presence of God. He made the choice that he did not want a relationship with God, and he has been actualized in that choice by his own choice.
Okay. I just didn't know if he could. He knows he's going to lose. He's not an idiot. He knows he's going to lose. He's read Revelation. and why he wouldn't repent is beyond me, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, you know what's beyond us as well is why we sin. Even believers, why do we sin? Why do we violate God's holiness? And yet we do it every single day, and we have to repent and ask God for forgiveness, daily confess our sins. Right. And so that's beyond us as well. How is it that God does a miracle for us? He provides for us in a unique way, and the next day we're wondering, is he going to do it again? We're people of little faith. We're fallible. But Satan has, with premeditation, with forethought, and with requisite knowledge, decided that he wants glory for himself, and he does not want to worship God. And God created Satan, as he created us, as volitional beings. He had the choice, he made the choice, and he has been living faithfully in that choice to be unfaithful to the principles and precepts of the very one who created him. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Israel, listening on KLP, El Paso, Texas. Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
Every day that I listen to, I thank God for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really quick question. We're our church is moving out of the Word of Faith movement, and a lot of it thanks to you and your ministry. But I keep getting people from that are following these new apostles and prophets, citing that they're supposed to be prophets and apostles today, and they cite Ephesians 5, and then they go and reference that with Corinthians, when it said some are wonder miracle workers. I call them magic men, but how would you interpret Ephesians 5? What's a better interpretation of that and the Corinthians passage? If you can enlighten me, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. Well, if you mean by an apostle, a church planter, or a pastor of pastors, yeah.
That's not what they mean.
No, I know, but you're asking me about the interpretation, and I'm saying that's the interpretation. And if you mean by a prophet, spirit-filled leaders who can inspire the church in a visionary sense, or someone who is spiritually gifted in forth-telling or proclaiming truth, yeah, there are prophets. But not if you mean, as you pointed out, someone who is getting new revelation from God. No, the foundation of the church has already been built on the apostles. Jesus himself is the cornerstone, and no second generation of apostles and prophets has ever been chosen to succeed those who were chosen by God as the foundation of the church. So, this whole notion that there are super apostles around today, and that if the old apostles and prophets were there, they'd be trying to get their autograph, as some are now saying, simply flawed. It's wrong.
Bill Hybels needs to read the Bible a little more.
Well, anyone who is saying that there are super apostles and prophets among us today in the biblical sense needs to read the Bible, yes, because the Bible is the foundation, and that foundation is not being relayed. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bobby, listening on KTBI, Castle Rock, Washington. Hi, Bobby.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I just think it's an honor and privilege to be able to speak to you. So thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you.
I'm just finishing up the Christian Research Journal, this edition, and I will definitely be getting your new book, and I appreciate that. Really quick, I was wondering if you know about Richard Stearns and his book, Hole in the Gospel, and if you have any insights on that. Is it a good book, something that we should be reading that's going to help be profitable for Christians to read? And also, do you have any resources, preferably in a DVD format, that kind of gives some instruction on the errors of emergent teaching?
Yeah, we do have information in that regard, and if you hang on, we can get that out to you. Also, in the Christian Research Journal, we have a summary critique of the whole In Our Gospel of Richard Stearns, who, by the way, is the president of World Vision. His overall charge to care for the poor and put our faith to work, I think, is very commendable. So when he tells us that saving faith should indeed produce good works, I would stand up and applaud. That is what we should be doing. However, He does not allow for moral proximity, which is to say that I first have to take care of my family, people that God places in my path, and I can't have the same care for everyone. It simply isn't practical or realistic. In prayer, I should care, but I can only do so many things. And I would say, from a personal standpoint, if I'm not faithful with the things God has given me in my own home, then I'm not faithful no matter what I do. He also promotes the economic fallacy that the growing gap between the rich and the poor is actually the cause of the world's unresolved problems. And that, again, is a fallacy, and he offers to support the fallacy, misleading statistics. He relies on the premise more government aid is mandated, overlooking the reality that in places like Africa, governmental aid is actually more of a problem than it is a solution. And I think most significantly, he marginalizes what is central to the gospel, namely that we are reconciled to God through the atoning work of Christ by grace through faith alone. Much more could be said, but here's the deal. We have a great review, as I said, in the Christian Research Journal. If you want to hang on, I can send that out to you. But I also want to mention to you that this is emblematic of all kinds of information you can find in the Christian Research Journal. For example, you ask about the emergent church movement. We have an article titled Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. So these are resources on cutting-edge issues, and it's one of the reasons that you ought to be subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. If you're not subscribed today, you can do it on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. For those who are hanging on right now, be patient. I will get to you. If you want to call in a question during the next hour, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be taking your calls right here for the next hour. So call your question in right now, 888-ASK-HANK. By the way, that translates to 888-275-4265. For everybody else, thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show. Those hanging on, remember, I'll be with you in a moment. If you're dialing in, 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the Internet or to donate to the ministry, just log on to equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to help you. To call a resource consultant, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.